Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We are going to be discussing season two of The After Party, which is an Apple TV Plus original series. We covered season one back whenever season one was on, and now we get to cover season two. But first, we have news. Jordan, what do you have for us?
Well, I just saw this today, even though apparently it was announced last week. 5 days ago is the tweet that I see. But our favorite comedian, Heather McMahon, is getting a Netflix special dropping October 17th. And I feel like, did she post about it already besides today?
Yeah, she did. She posted about it 5 days ago.
Wow, I missed it. Busy week.
It was a very busy week, and it was like a combined post with like Netflix. Yeah, I do feel like she should be making it a bigger deal than she has been, because like she posted it to Grid, but then like I never saw her talking about it in stories. But also I have been a little bit, I know both of us have been off of Instagram stories, like, mm-hmm. or I mean social in general this week, because it's been so busy. But
yeah,
yeah, so she must have made her own special, because we know she did that, and then sold it to Netflix.
Yeah, you've got to be right. And congrats, girly, you made it.
Can't wait to watch it. Did you watch the trailer?
So what happened was I saw her story today, and I was like, excuse me? And so then I had to quickly go to my, so I could bookmark it to, and have in my list, and then I didn't go back and watch the full trailer yet.
It's but funny because I'm remembering that I had this to talk to you during a time we were on a call, and I forgot. It was like one of my topics to bring up, because I was going to DM it to you, but I was like, oh no, I want to talk to her about it in person. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot.
We always have to have an agenda for any time we're on a call, which is actually frequently.
Yeah.
But we always have to have a list. And this is exactly why.
I forgot to write it down. Yes. Yeah. I was excited. I was watching it because I was like, I can't remember which like tour we saw live.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the Sun I Never Had.
Yeah, which kind of sounds like it's a one-off, because we saw the comeback tour.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And, you know, either way, if it were literally repeats of all the jokes we saw, I would be so happy to watch it again.
Yeah, it was so good.
I'm also curious, like, who is the son she never had, you know? Her dogs?
Can't wait to find out.
But she has them as sons. So I'm on the edge of my seat.
Can't wait. Okay, the only other piece of news that I have is that Donald Glover's Star Wars series Lando is now going to be a movie instead of a series, which I know we've talked about this series quite a lot, because there's been so many different things happening with it. So I thought that that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited to have the movie version. I'm just so curious, like, what are the deciding factors to make the change? Like, they don't have enough storyline. Like, it just makes more sense to be one thing versus a whole series. Like, I'm just very intrigued by that, because a common critique we have of shows sometimes is, wow, this should have just been a movie. So it's like, mm-hmm. kudos to them for doing that. What happened? I'm just so like, I just want to know the thought process, but I'm very excited.
Yeah, I really want to know. And it'll be funny if we watch the movie and then we're like, this should have been a series.
I know. Like, I'm kind of wondering that, because it seems like for this, it's one of those times where, like, more is more. Like, we love Donald as Lando. And his brother is, like, sometimes might actually be the brains behind the operation. So it's probably going to be really good. But I just don't know. Movie versus series, I'm very intrigued.
Here for it either way.
Yeah. I saw that it's kind of a follow-up to when we were talking about the Wes Anderson Netflix short films, the Roald Dahl ones. Because remember, I was like, well, the book he's doing is multiple, like, short stories. And now it is one day after another, they're going to release 4 Wes Anderson Roald Dahl short films, starting with The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar on September 27th, aka 3 days from now, The Swan on the 28th, The Rat Catcher on the 29th, and Poison on the 30th.
Interesting. And are they all directed by different people?
I think they're all Wes Anderson.
Oh, wow. I've only seen stuff about the Sugar one.
I know. That's why I was kind of like, okay, like, just kind of like low-key dropping 3 others and all their titles, you know? It's just, so it is like a collection. It seems like together, but independent stories. But yeah, I don't think Netflix has ever released anything like this before. So it's like hard to picture what it will really be. It's almost like it's kind of like a Wes Anderson Roald Dahl Black Mirror series or something.
Yeah, something's off.
Yeah, it's very interesting. One thing was they did drop the trailer for the series based on the book Lessons in Chemistry starring Brie Larson. That's going to be on Apple. Premiering October 13th, which I assume means 1 episode per week. That's the Apple way. And I've never read this book. Taylor has, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the trailer was good.
It was good. I saw a lot of people posting about it, which my tourist self made me not want to watch it.
I'll tell you what's popular. The masses won't. I get that.
So it's not like I'm like avoiding it, but also like I was like not going to give it the time, but I'm not opposed to watching it. But yeah, the book was not my favorite.
Mm-hmm. I think the trailer was good. I'm not necessarily like, it's not like my must watch of the year or anything. It just looked good. Like, it looks expensive, and it probably is.
And right now we're in such a drought for content, so we'll take it.
Yeah, totally. And then my last one was, it's kind of like, it's formerly TV news and now it is not, it's no longer TV news, but it's that the Paramount Plus Mean Girls musical movie is now going to have a theatrical premiere in January instead of TV, which is pretty big because not that many people have Paramount Plus. It's kind of like a D-list streamer that I have, but most people don't. And so like a billion more people are going to see this now, which is great.
I don't even think, I probably knew that, but I forgot that it was even a Paramount Plus movie and wasn't theatrical from the beginning. So that was crazy to me because the cast is so stacked and it's like such a popular play. Like, I think it's going to be a hit.
I totally agree. And it will be really fun to have that in like the depressing doldrums of January, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm very excited to watch that with my movie pass.
Yeah, I can't wait. Okay, so for our top 3, in The After Party, which Jordan had to remind me happens in season 1 and season 2, basically the premise is like a murder mystery and every episode is basically like the background to one of the characters and like what happened and where they were at leading up to the murder. And you're trying to figure out who did it. Each episode is kind of based off of another type of like film. So for example, one of the episodes, which we'll get into because I think we both agree is the best episode of season 2, is Anna Conkle's character. And it's based off of like a Wes Anderson film. And it looks like very Wes Anderson-esque in the way that it is portrayed and filmed. And it's really fun. So we were saying for our top 3, we're going to rank our top 3 types of film, cinematography-esque ways that we would want our stories to be told. How did I do?
You did amazingly. crystal clear.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, what's your number three?
Okay, my number three. Well, we've talked a lot about how much I love cartoons. So I said cartoon. Probably in the style of like, I mean, we've been talking about BoJack Horseman so much lately. That has a really fun, funky, quirky look to it. Bob's Burgers, it's like the people are kind of ugly, but I think that would be really funny. So yeah, I picked cartoon.
I love that. I'm surprised I didn't think of BoJack Horseman, and I'm the one who's been rewatching it. So I'm glad you said that.
Thank you.
My number three, I said, two of the three are kind of really specific examples. So my number three is like Across the Spider-Verse animation.
Ooh, amazing.
I had rewatched that last week, and so I was very into that idea and would love to see what my life looked like.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one too, because even within the movie, it's kind of like, well, now that I say that, it's because it's the same creators. Lord and Miller do Spider-Verse and After Party.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's all the same. It's the same two creators.
That is so funny and wild, because mm-hmm. I didn't even know that.
So clearly they like to mess with genre and perspective mm-hmm. a lot. And it's like, so you have like Gwen Stacy, her color scheme and look is very different than Miles Morales when he's in, like, he's narrating and stuff. So it's like, it kind of fits the whole theme.
Mm-hmm. And there's just so many different animation styles and within it. So fun. Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. Like, it's truly a work of art.
Yeah.
Brilliant answer.
Thank you.
My number two, and I don't think this is in either season of the After Party yet at all, but I was kind of inspired by like WandaVision, where one episode of that is mockumentary style, like kind of like theirs is like Modern Family, but it's also very like Parks and Rec, like just having talking heads of each character. I feel like that would be really funny.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising that they haven't done that, because yeah, I don't think so, and that would be really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be entertaining.
Yeah, I would love that. That's a really good answer. Okay, this is kind of really niche, but you know that there's that big chunk of time in Worst Person of the in the World, that movie, where like everyone else is frozen kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
except for the main character. And I think something kind of similar to that, where it's like, I'm the main character moving around in the world and everyone else is like frozen.
Yeah. Well, it would be very like in your head. Like it really, because it's kind of what it feels like to be a human. Because you're like, I'm the only one who's thinking, and I hear, like, you're just, you know, like, mm-hmm. you don't hear everyone else's thoughts. It's just you.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that, like, would, we're all self-centered and mm-hmm. only care about ourselves. Yeah.
It would really portray that really well. I love that idea.
Thank you.
My number one is 90s sitcom in the way of like Full House, like heavy laugh track, like outfits and hair, and or like Step by Step, all of those types of things. I think that would be really funny. There's kind of a bit in this season of the After Party where it's kind of like soap opera, like 80s soap opera, over dramatic and like makeup and hair and stuff, but I'm specifically talking like a 90s family sitcom.
That'd be perfect and very you. And also, yeah, they haven't done that really either yet.
Yeah, all of these I was like, kind of surprised. I feel like one of my like my overarching critiques of the show kind of ties into that too.
Oh, perfect. I can't wait to hear that. My number one is based off one of my very favorite movies, Marie Antoinette. I would just love to dress up in those little dresses and have the hair and have the party and be in that, the Sofia Coppola's Marie Antoinette vision at all times. So
it's perfect. I feel like looking inside your head, that is it. It's like kings and queens from the French Revolution listening to an iPod.
That's texting people. It.
It's perfect. I'm obsessed.
Oh, thank you. Okay, season two of The After Party has a lot of the same characters, pulls characters from season one, which is fun, but it's a different murder that they are trying to solve. Season one, I know I felt okay about it. I wasn't like in love with it, and so I barely remember a lot of it. And Jordan really liked it, so I'm interested to hear our thoughts on season two. Jordan, how did you feel about season two?
Overall, I liked it more than season one. I felt like season one, by the end, I was sold. I felt like it kind of took a bit to get into it. I like playing with genres. I really like the creativity there, and the attention to detail to portray each genre is like really, really fun to pick up on little things like that, kind of Easter egg moments, which is something I love. But I don't remember exactly what it was about season one that was like, I don't know, just like took me a little while, like maybe halfway through before I was really kind of like caring about the characters and the plot.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I feel like I liked the plot line better. I liked kind of the setting better, and like the connections between the characters were way easier for me to follow in season two, since it's like basically family, in-laws, you know,
mm-hmm.
and like relationships and drama and stuff like that. So I liked that. Yeah, just overall, I liked season two better. How did you feel about it? Because you were less sold than me for sure on season one.
Mm-hmm. I definitely liked season two better than season one. I'd still struggle with this style of show, but I feel like it was less repetitive than season one, which I appreciated, because I think I just like it's way easier for me to like zone out and not pay attention
mm-hmm.
when it's like I'm aware that every episode is kind of a retelling of the same situation. But I feel like they did a better job of in season two, where it was like everyone's stories and plots were kind of happening outside of the main event. So it wasn't a ton of like rehashing of the same event, just in different ways. And
yes, I agree.
I really liked the cast, and I mean, I really liked the season one cast, but this cast just really felt really fun. And yeah, I think just like the storyline in general was better. It still isn't like, I probably would have stopped watching it had I not been watching it for the podcast. Show is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
but I'm glad I did, because the ending was really fun.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think the end, besides the Wes Anderson episode, which as you said was like honestly amazing, I can't believe how well they pulled it off.
So good.
I literally felt like I was watching a real Wes Anderson movie, and it also wasn't like in a jokey parody way, like it really felt real and had like a lot of emotional pull to it too. So it just like, it really, really worked. That was the highlight of the season for me for sure. But I did like the end. The end was really fun too. The critique I was going to say is that I think one of the biggest problems with the show and strengths is that when the genre is like really defined and clear, the episode is really great. I thought that the Wes Anderson episode was the best one. I also found myself really liking the black and white movie that was told from Paul Walter Hauser's point of view, because I was just like, wow, it's very obvious that this is supposed to be like an old black and white detective, like noir film style thing. And like everyone in it, they looked like old timey actors. Like I just was very impressed with that. And then you have ones like the one that was from the perspective of the British guy. And I think it was supposed to be like a heist movie, but it wasn't really quite Ocean's 11. It wasn't Fast and the Furious. There like wasn't really any action. Like it was just kind of felt like just a normal episode of a TV show. And so I was like pretty bored. I didn't really care. It didn't help that I think he was one of the least interesting characters of the season as well. But I was just kind of like, I'm just kind of guessing that it was a heist genre for that episode. I'm not even really totally sure if that's true. When that genre of the episode is like kind of muddled and unclear, that's when the show suffers for me.
I agree, especially because I also found myself just being super distracted trying to figure out what the genre was that they were trying to imitate. Like, mm-hmm. I would spend like 10 to 15 minutes being like, what is this? And then I still never really figured it out. And then it was like a waste of time.
Yeah. It's like, wait, what were they saying during those scenes?
Yeah. Yes. So yeah, I totally agree with that. My biggest reason that I think that I have a hard time with this show is that it's literally almost impossible to solve the mystery and the murder.
Yes.
Like who did the murder on your own. And so then it takes out the fun. Like, there is no way anyone could have guessed what actually happened. So I feel like that already makes me less likely to want to watch it, because wanting to solve it on my own is part of the fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened with both seasons.
That's a really good point, because there are shows out there where it's still a twist and surprising, but like you may have called it or guessed something like that earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
And those are really satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Like, even for example, Succession, it was like half the fun of watching Succession in the end is like, or the whole season is like, who's going to succeed. And there are like reasons why or why not for like different people. But like in this show, they literally make every single person look extremely guilty and have motive. And so it literally could just be anyone. And there's no like, oh, it's definitely not them. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think that I don't necessarily mind that it could be anyone, but it's almost like they need to unpack that, like give us their alibis. And they do that in a lot of them, like the sister, for example, like her alibi was pretty clear from her story.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's like, I don't really mind that there's multiple people that look guilty, but I don't like when the reveal is something that like, yeah, there's literally no way we could have guessed it. Like I want to have basically all the clues in front of me that I can make an educated guess and get mm-hmm. excited that I was right or surprised yeah. that I was wrong.
Exactly. I agree.
I would like to shout out, you already mentioned Anna Conkle, but I was like amazed by her in this season.
She was so good.
I was like, especially because one thing I really loved was when I watched the trailer and even like in the first episode, you're like, oh, she's like the weird sister girl and like mm-hmm. oh, she's just gonna be really really strange and she's a funny actor so she's gonna be weird. But actually I liked that what actually was is that she's actually really smart and sad and
she's kind of the most normal one.
Yeah, like I was just obsessed with that. And it was really fun because we know her as being like very outrageous in Pen 15. That's like the only way I've seen her in anything. And she's amazing at that. And so I was like, just her casting alone makes me kind of assume that the character is going to be like over the top, awkward and strange person. And she got to be very like have her quirks for sure. But she was like very normal and just like tender and like a very lovable character. I loved that.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like her character is one of the like some of the hardest characters on a show to play and still be like interesting.
Yes.
She kind of reminded me of Selena Gomez in like Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, I like that.
And I just feel like that character is kind of can be hard to like portray in a way that is like still interesting, even though they're very kind of like dry and
mm-hmm.
not a ton of like personality.
Yes.
And so she did that really well.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. I would never have thought that, but it's really is the dryness, but like,
mm-hmm.
but masking sadness inside.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, perfect comparison.
Thank you. I want to know, how would you rate it out of 10? I always like to do this when like we're kind of like
different.
It's clear that we're not like run to your TVs and watch this, but also like, we're not like, don't not watch this.
I would say, because I feel like overall I did enjoy my time with this show, but 8 feels too high. You know, I'm going to say 7.5.
You know, that's interesting because I think I would say the same thing.
Oh, wow.
Maybe seven, but yeah, I would say that. Like, it is a good, it's a good Apple show that I feel like appeals to anyone.
Yeah, I totally agree. Someone was asking me tonight, I was talking to some people that started season one and didn't finish it. But mm-hmm. I was like, well, season two was, I liked season two better. And they were like, do I need to have watched all of season one to get season two? And I said, no, I think you could just watch it. You, there's like maybe some inside jokes that you wouldn't understand. But I think overall, like there's nothing, they explain pretty much all the context for every character, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. It is fun to see Ben Schwartz's character for a small second. That was really cute. Fun.
Yeah. I guess that's one more thing I would say was I did like bringing him back, and I was so happy when John Early popped up for his one episode because he and Tiffany Haddish are very funny together.
Yes, they are.
That was very entertaining.
Yeah, I loved that. And I love him. Also, the younger version of Edgar, the guy that dies, was so spot on and looked exactly like him. I was freaked out.
When they're kids? You're right. Yes.
It was weird. I was like, what? Mm.
Maybe it's because he kind of has like a weird childlike face sometimes. Maybe, so yeah. It's easy to find a child doppelganger for him.
So funny.
That is hilarious.
Okay, perfect. Okay, who's your crush of the week?
My crush is on John Cho. I always think he's really hot and didn't stop in this show. I was still extremely attracted to him. And I thought it was like, I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy that he and Ken Jeong are playing brothers. But he's 51. So kudos.
He's 51?
He looks really good. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, he looks amazing. I think I would give it up to Sam Richardson. I just always love him. And mm-hmm. he's so cute in this, especially. Yeah, I like that. I like that guy.
He really seems like a legitimately good IRL person. Yes. Also, he is a very good lead. Like, he really anchors the show well.
I agree. Like, if it would have just been Zoe Chow, I would have, like, she was good, but Sam really anchored it, like you said. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Another show to watch on Apple TV Plus.
I know. We keep having to extend our subscriptions. Most people canceled theirs.
They're the ones putting out content right now.
I know. It's so true. And most people always cancel theirs once Ted Lasso's over.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still here.
Here we are.
For now.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.